Bulletin Fupi
on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
24 minutes after 6 o'clock, you're listening to Kaya Biz on Kaya 959. Well, you'd be well aware that South Africa, together with its peers in our neighboring countries, do have a very strong trade relationship, right? The movement of goods, services and people are all essential to make sure that we're able to drive a much stronger economic performance that's required for all of us. But how is it that our relationship with our neighboring peers might be impacted by the ongoing sanctions we see from international counterparts like the U.S.? And this is where we get some clarity on this. To give us some details, as the U.S. Has been reported not to lift sanctions on Zimbabwean entities and individuals, despite the pressure being raised by President Cyril Ramaphosa during his visit with U.S. President Joe Biden recently to the U.S. To tell us more, though, we're joined by development economist Dr. Eddie Mahembe, who's going to give us some more insight into this now. Dr. Mahembe, thank you so much for your time this evening, sir.
Good evening, good, and thank you for the opportunity.
Good to have you with us. I guess before we always discuss the status quo and the way forward, it's always important to reflect, right? And give us some more detail and insight, firstly, into the imposition of these sanctions on Zimbabwe's economy by the U.S. Give us context and details as to where it essentially stems from.
Okay. Yes, to give some context, so the United States of America had sanctions. It's called the Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Bill, or Act. It was instituted in December 2001. So it's like 2 decades ago. Mm-hmm. And the main focus then was that they had wanted to see restoration of the rule of law, issues to deal with the broad-based economic growth, and some issues to do with land reform that needs to be done equitably and so forth. So we are talking of sanctions which have been there, and according to the USA, they say they are targeted entities and targeted individuals which are on sanctions. But we are talking of something which has been there for the past 2 decades.
That's true. And that's the challenge, right? This is 2 decades of economic losses that have taken place, trade relationships that have been lost. And of course, Zimbabwe is still trying to rebuild itself in terms of its economic performance. But help us understand how this has also hampered Zimbabwe's economic performance or partnerships with some of its peers here in sub-Saharan Africa.
Yes. So there is a contestation to that effect. So you find if you listen to the Zimbabwe government, if you listen to President Ramaphosa recently, and if you listen to the SADC region, they would say sanctions are actually the cause of the economic collapse in Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. But then if you listen to America and the West, they would say, no, it's not actually the cause. It's actually, it was the sanctions we actually put in after we had actually realized that the economy of Zimbabwe was already going down. For example, if you look at the actual name, it's called the Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act. Mm-hmm. So in other words, the economy was already in challenges by the time this bill, which turned into an act, was passed. So there is that contestation to say, can we say the challenges which Zimbabwe is facing is it caused by sanctions? Yes, they could be, but the issue is even before the sanctions were put in place, Zimbabwe was already challenging. So maybe we can then argue that maybe the recovery could have happened if the sanctions had not been there. But whether they are the cause or not, I think empirical evidence seems to suggest that the economy of Zimbabwe was already declining even before the sanctions.
And that's the challenge, right? The economy has been declining, but we do also understand that with the removal of the sanctions might translate into a sense of positivity and open up trade relations that might come about. Give us some context to this conversation that took place between President Cyril Ramaphosa as well as Joe Biden, where the U.S. has said, we have no intention of lifting these economic sanctions on Zimbabwe.
Yes. So I think what's important, Gugu, to emphasize is that the position of SADC and the position of President Ramaphosa is not a new position at all. So you find that even when the President Mbeki was still there, he was preaching the same message. President Zuma came in, he preached the same message. And President Ramaphosa is now speaking the same message. But equally well, you find that President Bush, who put the sanctions into place, retained them. President Obama came in, retained them. Mm-hmm. President Trump came in and extended them. So you find that there is definitely not a meeting of minds between Southern Africa and the USA. So maybe it could be the best time now where maybe Zimbabwe's government and even SADC needs, even President Ramaphosa need to say, okay, we've said sanctions should go unconditionally for all these years, but sanctions have not gone. Can't we change that? Can't we change the way we approach this? Because two decades of doing the same thing,
yeah,
still hitting a brick wall, for me, seems to suggest that it's not working. And maybe we need to think through it.
Let's talk through that then, Dr. Mahembe. What alternative solutions might exist that we can implement?
Yes. So in my view, I think the best thing is to look into what was the main cause of the sanction. The good thing about this is that there is an act. It's publicly available. They listed what they said were the issues then. The issue of rule of law. And when they amended the sanctions in 2018, they even emphasized the issue of the human rights. And then they even listed the names of the people who needed to be investigated and to say, please find out what happened to these people who just vanished, like Itai Dzamara, for example. So in my view, the starting point would be to say, let's look at each and every item which the Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act said. They said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then from the Zimbabwe government point of view, what are those things they don't agree with?
Mm.
And then what are those things which they agree with? Of the things they agree with, then they should address them. And then of the things they don't agree with, then they can make a lobby to say, you know what, you said we need to adhere to our own constitution. But that's one of the conditions. Please, we need to see adherence to the Zimbabwe's new constitution. And then they can then argue from that perspective to say, there are some things which you said we should do. We don't agree with you. And then that engagement comes in. But the challenge which I face, or which I see, is that America has written down what they want. Zimbabwe does not even have a policy, even after 2 decades.
Really?
Of sanctions. They don't have a policy to say, what is their response? What are those things they agree with? What are those things they don't agree with? So that even when President Ramaphosa is able to articulate these issues, he should be able to say, okay, of the things you listed to say Zimbabwe should do, yeah, look what they've done. Look how far they are. Look how, where they are.
Give
so us, for me, that's concrete discussion.
Give us some insight then. I'm keen to understand where we're falling short here, because surely Finance Minister Mthuli Ncube, together with President Emmerson Mnangagwa, must have some kind of conversations around the economic development plan, as well as the economic structure of Zimbabwe. Where are we falling short in terms of those conversations and how they represent the country to the international market?
I think the main issue, if I read correctly, because I'm not a lawyer, so I'm just reading from an economic perspective. So the main issue is the restoration of rule of law, and together with the property rights and so forth. The other issue is definitely the human rights issue. So and all those are summarized, so to speak, in the Zimbabwe constitution, which the new constitution, which was put in place in 2013. So what America is simply saying, so to speak, please apply or adhere to your constitution.
Mm.
So for me, that's why I'm saying it's easy if people are sincere to say, where are we not adhering? Look what we are doing. Look, and then these things can be itemized. Like what you say, I know Professor Mthuli Ncube is working on the equitable economic growth. They can then just say, this is how we are doing to make our economy more equitable and more inclusive.
Yeah.
And then those discussions become concrete and become actionable. The challenge is we don't have actionable items on the table from the Zimbabwe government to say, what are they doing to address these issues?
Hey, and that's exactly what's needed to make sure that our local leaders actually do implement the right plans and channels in place. Is there any hope or light at the end of the tunnel? I guess, are we seeing some kind of mobilization from business, from international partners, neighboring countries like South Africa, in order to encourage the president as well as the finance minister to push forward here?
I think we have seen a very good discussion, even at the just ended the UN meetings, people were discussing it. But I think the most important issue would be to say, even at SADC level, if people begin to say, okay, all right, we know we have said, let's see, remove sanctions, but they're not going, take one step back. What caused sanctions? And then we begin to do that, I think it will work. For me, the danger is if we don't address those issues, the year 2023 is coming in, and elections can soon be held, and then they can soon be contested again, and then we end another round of contestations again. And the biggest impact, according to President Ramaphosa, is the immigration issue. And if that issue of Zimbabwe is not resolved, that issue of the political and the economic issues for Zimbabwe is not resolved, it will continue to become a domestic problem for Africa. So it's in our best interest, correct, collectively, as SADC, to address these issues.
Definitely. I like that. A very important point that you underscore, though, underscore there, that if we don't and fail to address these issues, it becomes a problem for the region overall. And that's where we continue to have to carry each other from a labor point of view, jobs and economic opportunities, and even additional aspects of financial support and distress packages. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Dr. Mayembe. I certainly hope that these efforts are not falling on deaf ears. A big pleasure speaking to you this evening, sir.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Eddie Mayembe. He's a development economist joining us this evening.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.